Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com will be with us later in the program. We will get into the Titans and their week one matchup against the Denver Broncos with him. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. Joe, looks like maybe some spin zone going on out there as it relates to a certain college football program that's taken some heat over the last few days. What have you discovered and taken issue with out there in the land of college football?
Well, I saw this yesterday, and it was just like, you got to be kidding me. So, okay, AJ McCarron, this is a podcast. McCready and Siskey podcast, you familiar?
I'm not, but I am now.
Hosted by former Alabama Ole Miss director of personnel, Tyler Siskey, SEC beat writer Neil McCready. So AJ McCarron goes on there. What is AJ McCarron up to these days?
He's doing his own podcast.
Okay. Yeah. So he's trying to be in the media space.
Looks like it. A little bit. Yep.
But of course he's also, and this is, you see this a lot, like you see it at Tennessee. Go to any major college football program. You know, you've got former players who stay in touch with the program, and some of them get in the media space, and some of them are kind of used at times, I feel like, to, you know, to get a certain thing out. And I have no idea, like, if, like, this may, Kalen DeBoer may have no idea. He probably doesn't, you know. I would hope not. My God, he's got issues. He's got stuff going on here, okay? Winning 5 of his last 10 games and just embarrassing performances. But yeah, you know, someone in the Alabama program, this is one of those things where it's like, yeah, we'll just kind of, let's get this out there a little bit. So this is what AJ McCarron said. He said, quote, you look at these other teams that have $40 or $50 million in NIL, Alabama, and I know this for a fact, talking to multiple people in the program, Alabama has less than $20 million in their NIL. Okay, end quote. So first of all, I have no idea. I mean, this has become the new, this is like the catch-all excuse now for people in college football, right? If you screw up, if you suck, if you
we ain't got enough money.
If you're not doing your job well. So, separate from that, we can talk about the NIL in Alabama. I have high levels of skepticism that Alabama doesn't have the resources to do what it needs to do in this era. I have high levels of skepticism, okay? So, I think that's BS anyway. But even if it's true, they are the second most talented team in the country on paper. I believe they have the most 5-stars in college football.
Yeah.
That and the mass numbers of your recruiting success, as we talk about, any 5-star could flame out, any 2-star could become a star. But when you overall, over time, the numbers, those generally correlate with what you do on the field. So even if that's true, I don't care. It doesn't have any. What does this team not have that they needed to go get? They have the talent. They may not have the right players. They may not have, oh, I don't know, the best coaching. But you cannot sit here and look at this first game and start talking about NIL shortages. Like, you have the players in your program that should be a national championship contender. I mean, it's so absurd. And it's just, it's embarrassing to me that you would try to sell this bill of goods to Alabama fans. And I'm sure most aren't buying it. I'd like to hear your dad's thought. And then beyond that, then we can get into the NIL stuff. Get out of here. You guys, you cannot tell me. I understand that Texas Tech has this billion out there. He's willing to, like, just spend all of it on a left guard, okay? But you cannot tell me that you are at some disadvantage in this era, Alabama. Well, you cannot tell me that.
Here was my first thought when I saw it. If you're going to take A.J. McCarron's comments at face value, and that's true, and they've got less than $20 million in the NIL, you can kiss goodbye any thoughts to firing Kalen DeBoer. If you ain't got enough money for the NIL, you're not going to be paying the $63 million buyout or whatever it is. So we can end that conversation right now if that's the case.
That's a great point. And the funny thing is, if it goes real bad, they'll find the money.
Yeah.
They will find the money.
They will.
And so, yeah, that's
like, wow, look, Alabama came up with the money. It's stunning that happened.
That's a great thing to hold on to and remember, you know, if it does go bad. I mean, I still, like, to me, like, I would bet a fair amount of money on like Kalen DeBoer is coaching Alabama next year, because that is a huge number.
It is a big number,
and you know it's a second year. You know, there's a lot of, I would still guess that's the case. But if it goes bad, and it's like, yep, he has no answers, no one believes him anymore, his own players don't believe in him, the fans hate him, they're booing him every time he steps on the field, and that's two straight years of not even being able to make the 12-team playoff, they'll find the money. They will find the money. And then, yes, that'll be something to bring back to A.J. McCarron. Okay, so, well, you got $20 million, but you got $63 million in the coach firing kitty, so that's good news for you, I guess.
Oh, I said it yesterday.
It's such BS.
Yeah, I mean, look, as you brought up, you look at their roster and their performance in week one, maybe it is just a total mischaracterization of what they're actually going to be as a football team. I mean, look, there were people picking them to win. I think Josh Pate picked them to win the national championship.
Did he?
Before the year. So, like.
Sorry, Josh.
They have a very talented roster. But I went through the schedule yesterday, right? Like, they have at Georgia versus Tennessee, at South Carolina, LSU, Oklahoma on the schedule. Those are all your ranked teams. You're at Auburn. You're at Missouri. You're home against Vanderbilt. Like, they got a lot of losable games on their schedule. Doesn't mean they're going to lose all of them. Doesn't mean they're going to lose most of them. But they got a lot of losable games on their schedule. Like, can you imagine? I know Bama fans can't even, like, stomach this thought. But what if they're, like, 7-5? Like, what do you do at that point?
No, it's totally on the table. And it would really be – it would be a fascinating just – situation to follow, because it's like, I mean, you could still make the case like, okay, this guy, he just came in. I mean, there's always the get your own players in. That's a little different now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And look, I mean, I will say if it keeps going this way, Alabama teams will be less talented moving forward.
Correct.
Because I mean, kids, they still go to winners, and they still decommit from teams that are losing. That's still part of it. There's no question. It's like, well, I want to go where I have a chance to play for championship, chance of being in the playoff, better chance to be developed for the NFL. All those things were totally in Alabama's favor forever. But, man, it's still like, are you really going to can this guy, you know, with two underwhelming, way below standard years, but still right after following Nick Saban? I mean, but the thing is, the money people will, if it gets to 7-5, I mean, the money people have more power now over these programs than they ever have. They've always had power, but now, because it's basically like, this is like, there's so much more required from them for the players, that's how much more power they have.
You bring up Saban. To go full circle on this, you know who they play this week, right?
Yes. No,
oh, yes.
Yeah, that's – yeah, for Alabama fans know this well. Louisiana Monroe, who beat him in his first year.
Now, yes. That would be fun.
Now, that would be – oh, boy. But, you know, I'm assuming that they'll right the ship with this one.
It is a home game, yep. So
I would be stunned if they lose one of the next two games.
Yeah,
Monroe or Wisconsin, who I don't think is very good.
Yeah. Then you go to Georgia. I mean, you get Vandy coming in. Oh, boy. I mean, Tennessee's got a real chance to win in Tuscaloosa. I mean, they had a chance to win 2 years ago against Saban in Tuscaloosa, really. They should have probably won that game. But, yeah, like you said, South Carolina, LSU. I mean, I think Oklahoma, you know, big, big game this week on that front.
Yes.
John Mateer against Michigan at home. I mean, he had huge numbers. He was, well, again, Washington State guy like Cam Ward. If he's going to be that, I mean, Oklahoma could be a totally different-looking team this year. And then, I mean, Bama always – is in tough games at Auburn, and I think Jackson Arnold, former Oklahoma quarterback, looked kind of good running, certainly yep. running the ball for Auburn. So how many losses?
Yeah, take
is
that,
Robbie.
Now?
Yeah,
I mean,
apparently I hate Auburn.
I mean, my gosh, they could easily be 6-6. I'm sorry, but
Here
they could.
You know,
they
hate
really
to see
could, and then again, they could be 10-2. They can be 10.
Robbie's loving this segment, I got to say.
You know, this has been a great week for me. It
yeah.
really has.
Well, what if – let me ask you this, because Lance is trying to push the Dabo, which
yeah.
I don't think – I don't think Bama would go try to hire him at this point. And I don't think he'd leave Clemson. I mean,
no.
I just – Now, you can make the case, though. It's like, well, that SEC money is definitely going to be different more and more as the years go on than the ACC money. But I don't think that would happen.
I don't see him doing that at this point.
What about, Tennessee?
My dad's already convinced it's Lane Kiffin next year.
Really?
Yeah, he's Lane Kiffin's going to be the guy. Which, honestly, would be kind of hilarious.
Does he want that?
Yeah.
Okay. I wonder how much of the Bama fan base feels it. Because I thought we were going to talk a little groomers.
Well,
I mean, why Alabama fans laughed for so many years at Tennessee fans and their groomers, and now Tennessee fans could flip it around and laugh at them and their groomers.
Yeah, maybe so. I mean,
he said he'd die to be in the SEC. Where else would you want to be?
When's Pruitt's show cause up?
Oh, good God.
I can assure you that the gap is closing.
I mean, you know, Tennessee had to lock him down that contract extension at one point, so Alabama didn't take him when Saban retired.
Thank goodness. He could be Gruden's recruiting coordinator. But, I mean, if you're a coach out there, this is when not only is it Alabama, but now you get to follow the failed guy who followed the legend.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Oh, yeah, I've said this.
That's when you want the job.
I said this over the weekend. I would much rather be the guy who followed the guy who followed Saban than the guy who followed Saban,
yeah,
if that makes any sense.
Oh, that's where you want to be. Because now it's like, okay, you actually look pretty good.
Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Larry to the program. Larry, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Good, Larry.
Good.
I was reading Twitter last night, and there was a story on there about the Alabama football players. They be ordering DoorDash at 1 o'clock in the morning before the game, the Saturday before the game. Be out ordering DoorDash at the hotel, and I'm just thinking, but they're eating that junk food crap late at night. They probably ain't ready to play on Saturdays.
I did see this. I saw this floating out there. Thank you for the call, Larry. I did not know exactly where it came from. So this could just be like a, you know,
message board
type thing. But I did see some Alabama fans discussing DoorDash at 1:30 in the morning and how Nick Saban would have never allowed this to happen. So I don't know how true it is, how not true it is. But it is very funny.
Okay.
Again, you hate to see it.
Well, first of all, yeah, exactly. It was giving me PTSD when you're talking about young people ordering DoorDash. And I'm looking on my credit card statement. What?
Who paid how much for Taco Bell?
Yeah, oh my $28 God. For Taco Bell? You know, I could have eaten a month of Taco Bell when I was young for that much
anything.
Money. Yeah, man, I wouldn't be surprised if they got DoorDash to the hotel room. And I don't think Nick Saban would have stopped him either. Nick Saban probably doesn't know what DoorDash is.
I got these kids running around.
Remember
at 1:30 in the morning. Nick Saban would have made sure they're in bed by 8:30.
I told you that Nick Saban told me this summer that he has not sent a text. What did he say?
He just learned how to text.
Yeah,
what he said?
He just learned how to text in the last year. Yeah,
I think
year.
Nick Saban just totally lied to you.
He probably
how have you operated without knowing how to text?
I mean, you're
like, even in recruiting,
right?
Like, don't you know how to text somebody?
Yeah, but, you know, like the old school coaches, they do phone calls. That's why, like, those people got hold of his number, and they're like, I'm decommitting, coach.
Hello? It's real late.
You know, like if he was a texter, he probably would have been mad that they even called at all. You know, his phone calls are in his brain, right? So I don't know. He probably lied, but I also think that he might not know what DoorDash
Somebody
is.
Down there in Alabama needs to get to the bottom of whether or not these kids are DoorDashing at 1:30 in the morning, night before the game.
I mean, what are they DoorDashing?
I don't know.
There's only limited options at 1:30.
Yeah.
Look, young athletes, they ain't
kind of stuff they got in Tallahassee.
Eat whatever the hell they want, and they're just, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that metabolism. Still
yeah, don't you remember when you were young people? You could eat whatever you wanted. Didn't matter.
615-737-1025, our phone number. A lot of thoughts to get to on the text line. We will do that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
So I choose to believe we got a good football team, but we can't play on our heels. Like, we're not going to be what we think we can be, what we want to be, if that's the case. And so, again, that falls on everyone. I don't just point the finger at the players. You know, both sides of the ball. I mean, you kind of know what you're going to see, but going into the game, but, you know, with new coordinators. But we got to, you know, we talked in the locker room. There's no excuse about what happened. We step on the football field. They step on the football field. And we got to play ball. We got to play our style of ball. And you know, last year isn't this year. And it's going to be an uphill climb for us, but you can't think of it in the big scope of things. You got to focus on the moment, and the next moment is what happens tomorrow. And we'll find out. We've talked all along about chemistry on this team and talked about how close we are and how hard we've worked, doing a lot of the right things. But we'll find out. We'll find out if that sticks.
That's Kalen DeBoer, Alabama head coach, after their loss to Florida State on Saturday. Taking your thoughts on Alabama, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Joe, this conversation started about A.J. McCarron's comments about how apparently Alabama doesn't have enough NIL money. And now basically it's just turned into a bashing Alabama segment on the text line.
Hate to see it.
Yeah, right? You know.
Don't you?
Really
you're,
tough.
You're really
I feel really bad for
these
people.
Stuff.
I feel bad for Bama fans.
By the way, I've got Katie Rexrod weighing in. About Saban's strictness at Michigan State. We both had friends who played for Saban. She had a really good friend who played for Saban. But again, back then they didn't have DoorDash. I mean, I guess back then it's like, you know, try to order some Good Times pizza or some Gumby's, which is where I used to deliver pizza in East Lansing.
Nice.
Some Gumby's pizza to the team hotel. They do bed check, but it's like, you know, like you have the team in the, you send the grads around to do bed check. I'm sure there was some food ordering.
I mean, you ask Alabama fans right now, they're walking around the hotel lobby just causing chaos in there. DoorDash all over the place.
They're DoorDashing. God, I hate DoorDash so much, by the way.
Commerce went up a lot in Tallahassee, apparently, Friday night.
Yeah, I guess so.
Wouldn't believe how much money's flowing around here, DoorDash.
Or in Tallahassee, I guess.
Yeah.
Right?
So, what's that?
Oh, did you just say Tallahassee?
I did.
That was really weird. I thought you said Tuscaloosa. Mm-hmm. Good Lord. I guess I just expected you to say Tuscaloosa. That's very weird.
Yeah. I think okay. I said Tallahassee. I guess we need to go back and fact check me.
So they had DoorDash in Tallahassee. Yeah, you mean
you
in Tallahassee?
Mean Tallahassee,
yeah.
Florida?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the correction. Some people, you know, the Kiffin thing is like that is a polarizing, and I can tell you, because I've been on some Bama message boards the last few days. There's some Bama fans who would disagree with your dad.
I would agree.
Strongly.
Yes, yeah, there's some people
that
do not want that.
But you know what? I mean, I do think that he's a good coach, and he's matured a lot. And maybe I'm just, like, rooting for it because it would be a lot
of fun. It would take
the
Tennessee-Alabama rivalry to unseen heights if he was the head coach at Alabama. It would be awesome.
Third Saturday in October would be, yeah, would get.
Probably everybody in attendance would probably have to wear a helmet. There's golf balls everywhere, just flying all over the place, both sides. It's like, what's going on out here? Mustard bottles.
Just raining down from the skies.
Good gracious. Keith says, Chapel Bill in Alabama. That'd be something.
If Saban was still there, yeah, he'd go back there in the coach car wash and be like his laundry guy like Butch.
How many Alabama fans do you think are still deep down secretly holding on to hope that Saban just looks around one day and is like, you know what? I miss it. Let's get back in there.
I mean, he's kind of made it clear now, hasn't he?
I think he has, but I think there is a significant number of Bama fans that are like, just throw all the money in the world at him and get him back. Do whatever you got to do.
Does your dad agree?
I don't know. I haven't asked him about that.
I mean, it sounds nice, but I think Nick's out of there. I think John Gruden is a better option. What does this mean, Ethan, on the YouTube chat? Back in Joe's day, I bet food wasn't the only thing ordered. What the heck are you trying to say?
I don't know. Is that a shot at you? Is that a shot of the culture of your time? I don't know what that means.
Is that a shot at Hugh Freeze? Like, what are we talking about here?
Boy, you want to see this fan base down bad at Alabama? Go like 7-5.
Lose to Hugh.
Including a loss to Auburn and Hugh Freeze. He'd be done at that point.
I mean, those games every time down there. Even Brian Harsin.
Yeah.
Like is pushing Bama in the plains. When they play in the plains, I mean, that's.
I have no idea how good Baylor is. But Auburn, I thought, looked decent the other night. Like they looked like they at least had a clue out there.
Yeah, I mean
they've got some really talented dudes on defense.
They have some talent. Now recruiting has not gone well for Hugh.
Playing a lot of golf.
And golfing, I don't know how well it's gone. It's a lot of, at least it's quantity, if not quality.
A lot of quantity. Right?
But there is some talent on the team. And, you know, it's like Castellanos, Tommy, was Thomas. You watch him.
And Tessitore kept calling him Castellanos. And I was like, I've never heard that spelling called Castellanos. But that's what he said the whole game.
Tessitore just wanted to get to the disco, man. Yeah. He's just trying to get out of there. I did not think he was good last year. And then we lost his job and all that stuff happened. And it's like, and then he's getting into the public spat with Bill O'Brien. It's like, oh, God. I mean, look at him at Florida State. One game, but like it looks like a perfect fit. Jackson Arnold wasn't good last year. Remember the Tennessee game?
Oh,
I
yeah.
mean, it was,
he got benched in that game.
It was not right. It was not good. But if you use a player like that, both of them, if you use them correctly and use the fact that they can run so well, I mean, it worked out pretty well in that first game. So, yeah, Bama could lose that game. We're already to Bama losing the Iron Bowl.
I mean, look, I said this yesterday. There is a possibility here that maybe Florida State's just going to be really good, and maybe they're back in contention in the ACC, and you look at it and it's not as damaging of a loss as it feels like to Alabama fans. I just think that the Alabama part of this in totality goes back to what we were talking about, which is he's 9-5. He's 5-5 in his last 10. And I saw some Vanderbilt fans on Twitter yesterday. I was like, yep, Vanderbilt broke Bama. That's what it did. So Vanderbilt broke them.
There you go.
So, hey, I mean, we'll see how it goes the rest of the year. They still have a ton of talent, and they could end up still in the college football playoff. It just kind of feels like the walls are closing in on him right now, which is amazing given the fact that he's 14 games into his tenure.
Yeah, but that is college football. They close in faster than anything else, and again, it's like the negativity, the fans, the boosters. I mean, some potentially good coaching tenures have ended before we ever found out because of that stuff. And when you talk about a program with these standards – and again, these resources, A.J. McCarron,
yeah.
Please stop with this BS.
Yeah, we got to stop with the Alabama's at a disadvantage stuff. It's like, okay, come on.
I mean, now, if you're being realistic as an Alabama fan, I mean, you could say we used to have an advantage over just about anybody, right? Like before this,
yeah.
You know, like with Ohio State or whoever. I mean, they had it rolling at an incredible level, which, of course, as Saban said – NFL development, obviously winning championships, as Saban would never say, you know, you also have to have resources and deploy them in correctly at certain times.
A lot of Escalades and, out there back in the day.
I mean, come on. You know, it's like, of course, that has to happen at any program, FBS program, that's trying to be competitive. But they did. They had – it was just like – it was a machine. And now you can have a – Texas Tech, even a Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt can go out there and say, we got some people with money. We can get some better players than we could have gotten before. I think they're maybe as talented as they've been at Vanderbilt right now. So, yeah, so your advantage is reduced because of this. But to claim that you're like it's some second tier in this, come on, man.
Somebody asking about Coach O. Could Bama hire Coach O? Coach O said he wanted to get back into coaching.
You got to be quiet over there.
I'm having a press conference.
I mean, we need him back in
the
game.
They can end
somehow.
every interview he does with roll tight. Roll tight.
Oh, yeah. That rolls off the tongue. Yeah. He'd be good at that.
Yeah.
No, he needs to be in the game.
Yeah,
somehow,
I would.
Right?
First off, let me let the record show. I would love for Alabama to hire Coach O. That'd be awesome. Please do.
Oh, God. He needs to be involved in college football in some way.
Oh, I agree. Get him back in there. Look, Coach O's gotten too much hate. Like,
he did win a championship.
Yeah, like toward the end of his tenure, everybody thought he was just some bumbling idiot out there. And it's like, well, he did assemble like the greatest, maybe the greatest college football team of all time, at least in the conversation, in 2019.
Right. He had maybe the greatest college team of all time and season of all time. And then other than in that season, everybody thought he was a bumbling idiot.
Exactly.
Before and after.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, wow, this guy's a moron.
I mean, he does like to get into like, you know, scuffles with frat boys.
Yeah.
I mean, he needs to chill out on that. I swear, like, every, like, couple months, there's, like, a new video of him. You better shut up, boy. Like, I'm not wrapping up. You shut up, Kuharsky.
Kuharsky's here. He's telling us to wrap it up. He will be with us coming up next. I'm sure Rex Road will yell at him about fantasy football, and we'll get that out of the way coming up next as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Michigan takes on Oklahoma this Saturday at 6:30 in our college football game of the week on Sports Talk 830, presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants and Circus Sportsbook Kentucky. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Ian Safar, Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com with us here on the program. PK, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Hopefully I'm not coming down with something, but there was a cold in my house recently, and I fear that I am next, and it's poorly timed if that is the case.
Great. Good to see
you. Joe, come here.
Glad to be right next to you.
Yeah, come on over
awesome.
Here.
Awesome. Zoom works, buddy.
Rexroad was pretty upset with you yesterday.
I thought if I called in and said, hey, how about I Zoom it, that I would have been just crucified.
Probably so.
And so here I am.
No, I mean, we'd prefer that to you passing us a virus.
You sound like you're already there.
Well, I may be too. Hopefully I give you one.
Yeah, great. That's very generous of you. What a friend.
Let's clear the air here. Rexro took big issue with your Titans Media League commissioner skills.
I did not receive
a personal invitation for you for the draft.
Have you changed emails? Like most adults don't change emails.
I've been in about, I don't know. Who knows? How many fantasy leagues?
And
I
everyone mean, calls you and
at every single draft, at every single fantasy league I've ever, there's someone who's a straggler who's like, hey, I text blah, blah, blah. They call blah, blah, blah. Every single draft I've ever been a part of. It'll happen tonight. But you, ESPN sent an email. It's fine. Okay.
Now that's like Nathan Lane.
Yeah, that was not your best impression.
We've gotten to Nathan Lane. Here's what I did.
It was a hell of a spectrum
on
of
Sunday afternoon. I went into the ESPN machine.
Now he's at it. He's Coach O.
And
his Twitter machine.
I sent an email through the ESPN machine. Subject line: draft tonight. And I wrote, a reminder to everyone, the draft is tonight at 9 p.m. And I sent that, and I felt absolved of reminding anyone because I play in a league with 13 other grown-ups.
Let me ask you this. Did anybody else?
I actually didn't get the email, in all seriousness.
Did anybody else not participate in the draft?
Yeah.
Or was this just Rexroad? Okay.
Well, I mean, some announced that they weren't participating, at least one. One was gallivanting in Europe with a loser country star who can't find real friends, and another had the date wrong. She put it on her calendar as Monday, and somebody came in on Monday morning and said, "How's your team?" And she said, "Isn't that tonight?"
Well, I don't know. That's counter evidence to PK. A lot of issues with the draft there. A lot of issues. People not showing up.
I set the draft. I told people when it was when I said it. I offered reminders. By the way, I offered personal reminder to everyone who was around, who I saw personally.
Okay.
At Thursday's Titans practice.
That's
Joe was not in attendance.
No.
And then I went about my business and drafted the winning team.
Well, your league.
Rexroad, we wish you luck with your team.
This league is so poorly drafted. I mean, at least Joe wasn't there to participate in this. People are drafting their second quarterbacks before they should have been drafting their first quarterback.
Not good.
I mean, I ended up with Matthew Stafford and Trevor Lawrence because I stuck to my guns. Then I played in a league of people I recruited for paulkuharski.com, new members. And this was a reasonable league where people waited on quarterbacks till the 7th, 8th round like you're supposed to.
Yeah.
Real players.
Well,
I don't know what's going on tonight. I've exposed my strategy. But maybe tonight I'm going to take Josh Allen in the first round and finally have a quarterback.
We'll see how it goes tonight.
Take a defense first round.
PK, we were looking at the matchup with Denver, and there's a lot on that front I want to get into you with. I want to start here, though, because this is my opinion. I feel like people around here are putting way too much faith in Eli Manor, and it's not necessarily because I don't think he can end up being a good player. But he is a rookie, a fourth-round player. And I went through the history earlier in the show of Titans wide receivers that have been drafted third, fourth, fifth round, kind of in those middle rounds. It's not very pretty, as you will be not surprised to find out. And I think the Eli Manor excitement around here is rooted more in what the Titans don't have at wide receiver rather than what he is as a wide receiver. Am I wrong? Am I being too harsh?
Well, it's on hope. There's always hope about the next guy at wide receiver. I think he's a talented guy. Is he going to light it up on the opening day in Denver? I doubt it. I mean, I think he's had a good camp, but I think maybe the most telling day was his worst day, which was the first day in Atlanta. He said he couldn't get himself up, and he kind of got bullied. And he needs to be a physical guy, a go-get-the-ball and take on cornerbacks guy, and he didn't do that first day of practice in Atlanta. He bounced back reasonably well, but now in altitude, under the lights, all the cliched stuff about opening day, I certainly think Denver will attack him in a way that will be a lot like that first day in Atlanta and make him uncomfortable. And you know, my whole thing for this game and for the Titans in general is I think teams are going to sell out to stop Calvin Ridley and make somebody else beat them. Doesn't have to be a singular individual. They can spread it around. And Brian Callahan said, you know, I have to find ways. It's my job to find ways to still get the ball to Calvin also. I liked what Brian Callahan said on Monday about a variety of things. We think we can. Now we have to go out and prove it. Prove it, prove it, prove it. And Iyo Manor's one of those guys that has to prove it. But a lot of people are acting like he's got a first-round pedigree.
Well, it still sounds like you expect him to be out there enough to have a chance to prove something.
Well, they put him at the top of the depth chart. So, I mean, to them, he's one of the top three, if we're to believe the unofficial depth chart.
Now,
Why they would do that unless they intended for him to be there. Why give him the pressure and the questioning that comes with that leading into the first game if they don't really intend for him to be there? I mean, the thing previous regimes would have done is bury him behind Jefferson, even if you intended to start him, right?
Yes.
So,
yeah, it's hard for me to believe that they would. I know the depth chart rarely means anything, but that does probably say something, right? I mean, it has to.
You know, I think you're rewarding him because you like what he's done, and you're not afraid to say, we intend to put this guy out there.
But
Callahan
also,
will talk to it today.
But also slash because your other options are not good.
Yes. Well, I mean, we know what they have, and this group, that's the other thing, Robbie, is that, like, on the one hand, I can't blame people for being more optimistic because it's a more talented group than they had in a long time. On the other hand, you got to remember how untalented the group has been for some time, even going back to when, you know, you felt really good when they had Julio Jones, you know, and A.J. Brown, you know. But since that trade, you know, they fielded some really bad receivers. There's no Cody Hollister in this six.
Yeah. Good blocker.
I just think there's an assumption that it's like, oh, by week six or seven, like, he's going to be their clear number two. And it's like, he's a rookie fourth-round wide receiver, who, by the way, I like. Like, I like a lot of what he brings to the table. But I think a lot of the discussion around Iyo Manor and expectations for him really is rooted more in what they don't have rather than what he is.
Yeah.
And it's just hope that he turns into that.
And it's always off-season hope. You know, I hope good things for him. I think he's got some good things going for him. But I tend to agree with you. Like, why not tamp it down and be pleasantly surprised instead of expecting the world and lend yourself to be disappointed?
PK's with us the rest of the show. We got a lot of things to get into on the Titans front with him. We'll take your questions for him at 615-737-1025. Our phone number, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
Seems like Cam to Calvin might be your best thing, certainly, or your most explosive thing. If a defense is looking at that, defense as good as the Broncos, certainly, and is hell-bent on taking that away, that leaves you with what's next? How confident? Yeah. Not confident's not the right word, but you envisioning that's a potpourri as the alternative to that, or does somebody have to emerge as the next guy? How's that work?
Yeah, I think someone has to. I mean, to sit here and say that we have the they have to emerge. Someone's got to step up and make the plays. I feel good about the group of guys we have going into Denver. I like the work that we put in, but certainly we got some unproven players and we got some young players that have done it. That haven't done it yet, But I like where those guys are at, and we're going to use anybody that's up on game day. We're using. They're all going to have roles. We're going to make sure that they're in the right spots to have success. And again, we're a team that's in prove it mode right now, and all the things that we feel good about, and we're going to have to go do and show it on game day, regardless of how good I feel about the process leading up to it. But I'm confident in the group we have, and I'm excited to go do it, and we just got to go do it.
That's Brian Callahan earlier this week.
After like 8 minutes of mumbling and then using the word potpourri by Paul Kaharski.
I got to edit that question way down. That was bad form.
Let me try bouillabaisse. I'll throw that word in there.
I was wrong on that. I saw Mrs. Wycheck and her daughter at Aaron's memorial. Yeah. And I said, I pay tribute to him frequently when I say, I was wrong on that.
Wrong on that. Yep. So to that point, I look at Denver's defense, and it's strong pretty much everywhere. But certainly, I mean, you're talking about one of, if not the best cornerback in the entire league. And I don't think it's a huge stretch, as you pointed out, to look at the Titans offense and say, man, if you can slow down Calvin Ridley, I don't know that anybody else really scares you out there. So how do you expect that to play out on Sunday against Denver? Number one, can Brian Callahan get him as involved as they want him to be? And number two, if not, how do the Titans overcome that against a defense that, the more I look at it, PK, the more this just screams bad matchup for the Titans
in
week one.
It's a bad matchup. I do think, and I liked that Callahan said, didn't just say we need to find alternatives, but both he and Holt said it's our jobs to find ways to get him the ball. So he took on a challenge and a mantle there. If they come out of that game not having found ways to get him the ball, we will strike one in terms of game planning. I talked to Tyler Lockett about Surtain and what he does, and he said sometimes he travels and sometimes he won't. So I don't think they'll see a steady – I don't think Ridley will see a steady number one quarterback, a cornerback on me, or the traditional Belichick thing of doubling the best guy and leaving Surtain for the number two guy.
Chapel Bill.
What a night.
Genius.
Saw her some great memes about her filing for separation. going on to the next rich coach.
Dabo.
So it'll be very interesting to see how Denver plays that. I mean, look, the thing about this game is pressure, right?
Yep.
So if the Titans have a chance in this game, it starts with that revamped offensive line and maybe some help. But they had 15 guys with at least one sack last year, two over 10. I think the most combined, like, hits, pressures, and sacks, the most sacks, and the highest or second highest pressure rate, like 27.7. So over a quarter of the time when he's passing, he's going to be pressured if they hold true to what they were last year. And that's a new experience for a kid quarterback who's also got the altitude, who also has a defense that may not be doing much against an offense that I'm not a big believer in, but I have to concede does some things. And, I don't see the Titans hammering Bo Nix in this game. Do you?
I mean, I don't see them. I mean, I've got to see them hammering any quarterback to believe
it. The path to the Titans pulling a surprise in this game is to pull a bunch of surprises.
Yeah,
right?
Yes.
They're going to have to hit Nix, which we don't expect.
Rip the football out a couple times.
Snead's going to have to come out there and be like, whoa, that's the guy that we thought they were trading for, and he's been invisible all of camp, but there he is doing things, right? Sweat,
who
we haven't seen in a long time, needs to play more. I think I set an over-under at practice yesterday of like 16 and a half,
Man, that's low.
What do you think? I mean, he has not, they're talking about his fitness and everything, but he missed a solid like 2.5 to 3 weeks.
Yeah,
when guys miss weeks of camp,
worst possible
things don't
guy.
Go well. Plus, he's the
worst possible
guy
to miss that time before this game.
Yeah.
But 16 and a half is low.
What would you say to that?
Especially considering how many snaps 22? The Titans defense could be out there for this game.
All right, I'll raise it to 22 and a half.
I'd put him in the 20s. I think if the Titans got 25 snaps out of him, they'd be pretty happy, right?
Yeah. I mean, they'd be pretty happy given the context, but the context sure sucks in a game that you need him to not just be out there, but to be like showing that he's a double-edged sword now, who's not just going to stop the run, but is going to disrupt the passer and get a guy like Bo Nix off his spot into Draymond Jones or
Jeff Simmons.
Or Jeff Simmons or Arden Key or Femi Oladeju, who I think they're kind of like Denard Wilson yesterday struck me as a guy who's trying to speak things into existence with Femi. Like, all these things are going to – he didn't use the word manifest, but he said all these things are going to come. Like, out of what he's doing, the pass rush and things will come. He's like a soothsayer, like speaking it into his existence. I think it's kind of odd.
Seeing the future.
Yeah. I don't know that it helps you much in week one. Right? Like, maybe it does come at some point, but again, this just screams bad matchup on paper. And, you know,
next week ain't great either.
I know. And what I worry about
how many are good? Yeah. How many good ones are there?
What I worry
week
about.
Week three, I like.
Like, Callahan, like, probably.
Just hold on.
Get to week three, and everything's going to be all right. Like, an under-discussed, in my opinion, part about Callahan is, like, just the offensive play calling of it. Like, I didn't walk away from last year thinking that they had some big problem there. But to your point, PK, like, can they get Calvin Ridley the ball this week? Like, against a defense that, you know, it's not a typical NFL defense that they're going up against. I mean, it's pretty high-level stuff that they're about to see. LA has got a bunch of talent on defense. So the first two games are a big test for Brian Callahan. And frankly, with where they're at from a roster standpoint, it may not be a test that they're overly equipped to pass, and I don't know that that means anything that's overly passing judgment-wise on the Callahan part of this, but that's how people are going to view it if things go poorly in the first 2 weeks.
And also, here's something that we haven't talked about nearly enough on the Callahan play call front. Maybe some of his best play calling in this game has nothing to do with Cam Ward. I mean, they need to keep Cam Ward's attempts down. Fans aren't going to be wild about that. But if Tony Pollard has a good game here, you know, that's how almost every rookie quarterback has success, is with a good running game that keeps things close. Now, if you look at Washington last year, well, Jaden Daniels is part of the running attack. Cam Ward's not part of the running attack, right? And so I'm not high on Spears, but you can miss Spears here if Spears could be in the lineup doing what Spears does. There's no Spears replacement. The Spears replacement is more Pollard.
It's just going to be – so, you, exactly. think, so yeah. You expect Pollard to just play a darn near every offensive snap in this game.
I don't know how not. I mean, I think short yardage, you could take it away from him, and a clear run short yardage.
Is Mullings going to be active?
Chestnut or Mullings. I think,
are they both going to be active?
I think so. I think Mullings probably is a special teams role. Plus, you know, your turned ankle away from being down to one running back if you only have two active.
But if you need to give Pollard a blow for a third, it's Chestnut on third
down,
right?
It's Chestnut, which isn't great.
No. He's pretty good in August.
Yeah, annually. but they've got to run, and in order to run, you got to keep it close, right?
Yeah.
Now, Vrabel was pretty good if you're down 10 sticking to the run, but Vrabel had Derrick Henry.
Right.
Which is, you know, a whole different deal. Can they stick with Pollard if they're down 10? Will they? That's another Callahan question, another thing to watch, you know. And then if you come out in two series on first and 10 and you get to second and 8, you know, how much can you stick with it? Or, you know, can you do a little pass to set up the run and throw for 6 and then run on second and 4? You know, these are all questions about how he constructs things that I think we're dying to see answered after all these months.
Todd Downing on second 10 is going to run the ball, I promise you that.
Yes, yeah. 615-737-1025, our phone number. One more hour with PK. We'll begin that coming up next. A lot of your questions already coming in. We appreciate it. Keep them coming for PK at 615-737-1025, our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.